evil becomes good, and good becomes evil. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible episode number 167. This is a daily podcast. It's daily because we're reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. I'm happy that you're following along with me. And if this is your first time listening, welcome. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Our reading today is Luke 11 and 12. To find out what Bible translations I'm using today, go to the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com, episode 167, or check your podcast app. If you'd like to get in touch with me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. LifeSpring Media is listener-supported. If you find value in this show, put a number on that value. If you listen to the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible every day, that's about 2 hours a week. Is that worth something to you? Does that have value? If it does, go to lifespringmedia.com/support to find out how you can convert that value to help support the show. Whatever you do is greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you open your word to us today. Help us to understand and to see how we can apply it to our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin. Luke chapter 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer him from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons," while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings 7 other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your lamp is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light, but when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. But woe to you Pharisees! For you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees! For you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. Woe to you! For you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it. One of the lawyers answered him, Teacher, in saying these things you insult us also. And he said, Woe to you, lawyers also! For you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you! For you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses, and you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering. As he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. Luke chapter 12. As thousands of people crowded together so that they were stepping on each other, Jesus said first to his disciples, Be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, I mean their hypocrisy. Whatever is covered up will be uncovered, and every secret will be made known. So then, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in broad daylight, and whatever you have whispered in private in a closed room will be shouted from the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot afterward do anything worse. I will show you whom to fear. Fear God, who, after killing, has the authority to throw into hell. Believe me, he is the one you must fear. Aren't 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one sparrow is forgotten by God. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows. I assure you that those who declare publicly that they belong to me, the Son of Man will do the same for them before the angels of God. But those who reject me publicly, the Son of Man will also reject them before the angels of God. Whoever says a word against the Son of Man can be forgiven. But whoever says evil things against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When they bring you to be tried in the synagogues or before governors or rulers, do not be worried about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. A man in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide with me the property our father left us. Jesus answered him, Friend, who gave me the right to judge or to divide the property between you two? And he went on to say to them all, Watch out and guard yourselves from every kind of greed, because your true life is not made up of the things you own, no matter how rich you may be. Then Jesus told him this parable. There was once a rich man who had land which bore good crops. He began to think to himself, "I don't have a place to keep all my crops. What can I do?" "This is what I will do," he told himself. "I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, where I will store the grain and all my other goods. Then I will say to myself, 'Lucky man, you have all the good things you need for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night you will have to give up your life. Then who will get all these things you have kept for yourself?" And Jesus concluded, "This is how it is with those who pile up riches for themselves, but are not rich in God's sight." Then Jesus said to the disciples, "And so I tell you not to worry about the food you need to stay alive, or about the clothes you need for your body. Life is much more important than food, and the body much more important than clothes. Look at the crows. They don't plant seeds or gather a harvest. They don't have storage rooms or barns. God feeds them. You are worth so much more than birds. Can any of you live a bit longer by worrying about it? If you can't manage even such a small thing, why worry about the other things? Look how the wildflowers grow. They don't work or make clothes for themselves, but I tell you that not even King Solomon with all his wealth had clothes as beautiful as one of these flowers. It is God who clothes the wild grass, grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, burned up in the oven. Won't he be all the more sure to clothe you? What little faith you have. So don't be all upset, always concerned about what you will eat and drink, for the pagans of this world are always concerned about these things. Your Father knows that you need these things. Instead, be concerned with his kingdom, and he will provide you with these things. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell all your belongings and give the money to the poor. Provide for yourselves purses that don't wear out, and save your riches in heaven, where they will never decrease, because no thief can get to them, and no moth can destroy them, for your heart will always be where your riches are. Be ready for whatever comes, dressed for action and with your lamps lit, like servants who are waiting for their master to come back from a wedding feast. When he comes and knocks, they will open the door for him at once. How happy are those servants whose master finds them awake and ready when he returns. I tell you, he will take off his coat, have them sit down, and will wait on them. How happy they are if he finds them ready, even if he should come at midnight or even later. And you can be sure that if the owner of a house knew the time when the thief would come, he would not let the thief break into his house. And you too must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you are not expecting him. Peter said, "Lord, does this parable apply to us, or do you mean it for everyone?" The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant? He is the one that his master will put in charge, to run the household and give the other servants their share of the food at the proper time. How happy that servant is if his master finds him doing this when he comes home. Indeed, I tell you, the master will put that servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself that his master is taking a long time to come back, and if he begins to beat the other servants, both the men and the women, and eats and drinks and gets drunk, then the master will come back one day when the servant does not expect him and at a time he does not know. The master will cut him in pieces and make him share the fate of the disobedient. The servant who knows what his master wants him to do, but does not get himself ready and do it, will be punished with a heavy whipping. But the servant who does not know what his master wants and yet does something for which he deserves a whipping will be punished with a light whipping. Much is required from the person to whom much is given. Much more is required from the person to whom much more is given. I came to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism to receive, and how distressed I am until it is over. Do you suppose that I came to bring peace to the world? No, not peace, but division. From now on, a family of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. Fathers will be against their sons, and sons against their fathers. Mothers will be against their daughters, and daughters against their mothers. mothers-in-law will be against their daughters-in-law, and daughters-in-law against their mothers-in-law. Jesus said also to the people, "When you see a cloud coming up in the west, at once you say that it is going to rain, and it does. And when you feel the south wind blowing, you say that it's going to get hot, and it does. Hypocrites! You can look at the earth and the sky and predict the weather. Why then don't you know the meaning of this present time? Why do you not judge for yourselves the right thing to do? If someone brings a lawsuit against you and takes you to court, do your best to settle the dispute before you get to court. If you don't, you will be dragged before the judge, who will hand you over to the police, and you will be put in jail. There you will stay, I tell you, until you pay the last penny of your fine." We read in Luke 12:10, "Whoever says a word against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but whoever says evil things against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven." In the King James, this is translated, "But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven." Have you ever wondered about what the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is, or some have called it the unpardonable sin? William Barclay wrote a very popular set of commentaries on the New Testament. Even though I very strongly disagree with some of his views, I do like what he had to say about this verse. As a matter of fact, I'm going to quote Barclay for the next couple of minutes or so. Barclay wrote, "This verse tells us of the unforgivable sin, which is the sin against the Holy Spirit. Both Matthew and Mark record that Jesus spoke about this sin immediately after the scribes and Pharisees had attributed his cures to the prince of devils instead of to God. These men could look at the very grace and power of God and call it the work of the devil. To understand this, we must remember that Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit as the Jews understood that conception, not in the full Christian sense about which his audience at that time obviously knew nothing. To a Jew, God's Spirit had two great functions. Through the Spirit, he told his truth to men. And it was by the action of the Spirit in a man's mind and heart that he could recognize and grasp God's truth. Now, if a man for long enough refuses to use a faculty, he will lose it. If we refuse to use any part of the body long enough, it atrophies. Darwin tells how when he was a young man, he loved poetry and music, but he so devoted himself to biology that he completely neglected them. The consequence was that in later life, poetry meant nothing to him, and music was only a noise. And he said that if he had his life to live over again, he would see to it that he would read poetry and listen to music so that he would not lose the faculty of enjoying them. Still quoting Barclay here, "Just so we can lose the faculty of recognizing God. By repeatedly refusing God's word, by repeatedly taking our own way, by repeatedly shutting our eyes to God and closing our ears to Him, we can come to a stage when we do not recognize Him when we see Him, when to us evil becomes good and good becomes evil. That is what happened to the scribes and Pharisees. They had so blinded and deafened themselves to God that when He came, they called Him the devil. Why is that the unforgivable sin? Because in such a state, repentance is impossible. If a man does not even realize that he is sinning, if goodness no longer makes any appeal to him, he cannot repent. God has not shut him out. By his repeated refusals, he has shut himself out. That means that the one man who can never have committed the unforgivable sin is the man who fears that he has. For once a man has committed it, he is so dead to God that he is conscious of no sin at all." That was William Barclay. Beloved, I recently said to you that we should keep our account with God short, meaning that we should confess our sins often. In doing that, we remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we never have to fear committing the unpardonable sin. What do you think? I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Hey, if you have some artistic ability and know how to use Photoshop, how about trying your hand at creating some album art for the show? You can find the template files and more instructions at lifespringmedia.com/art. And for more information on the value for value model and finding out how you can help support the podcast, go to lifespringmedia.com/support. And by the way, John Anonymous, the executive producer for every episode of the Lifespring Family Audio Bible until the end of the year, has asked that I not mention him on the show. It's his personality to not really want to be in the spotlight. So I'll respect his wishes and make this the last mention. But I want you to know that his support is very greatly appreciated, and it's because of him that I'm able to make some of the bill payments around here. And I appreciate that. Well, until tomorrow, may God bless you. Oh, wait, by the way, we're going to read Ephesians 4 through 6 tomorrow. And until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb, and I'm so glad you were here today. Bye.